Blog Talk Radio.
Well, old Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun of heaven. Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this simple song. You see, there's only one way, Jesus, if eternal life is your goal. In meditation of the mind, it won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun not heaven. Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again, a Presbyterian or a Methodist, and still die in your sin. Can't even be charismatic, shout and dance and jump a few. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few. Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne, a Presbyterian or a Methodist that's calling us home. And it won't be a charismatic that plays that trumpet tune. Let's all just live for Jesus, because he's coming back real soon. Oh, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune.
Time is drawing nigh.
figure this thing out here, get going. And it took a little bit to get on here, and like I said, maybe I'm not supposed to be on tonight. But anyways, I'm thank the Lord that I am. It's just for this little while. I was trying to call in on the other line, so maybe we can go from there, okay? Because right now I'm on my cell phone. I see I'm on, and it don't look like it's timing. I don't know. My time clock. I'm watching my time clock right now, y'all. I'll get going here in a minute, Lord willing, if I can, you know. Anyways, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me where I fail you in my old flesh. Lord, forgive me, God. I feel like Paul sometimes, Lord, those things I don't want to do, I do, and those things I do want to do, I don't do, Lord. But I want to follow God, and I want to be a light and a testimony for Jesus Christ. I'm not on here, Lord, to try to blast anybody or put anybody down or anything like that, Lord, but I'm asking you tonight, Lord, to have mercy on me. And, Lord, these things like this mean more to me than anything in this world. And, Lord, I ask you tonight, Father, that you touch the heart of my brother, Mark. Lord, I got I'm saying it on the radio if someone's listening. I got a text and a message through Messenger from my sister-in-law that my brother's not doing too well right now. And, Lord, I'm just asking you, God, to have your way, your will. I'm asking you, dear God, that you, Lord, show mercy, Lord. I pray that you give him strength. And Lord, all we can do in life, Lord, is ask God's will to be done. Because either way it works out, Lord, it's still going to be God's will. Whatever your will is, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you have your will and your way through it all. Lord, in my prayer tonight, as I pray, God, maybe I'll just sit here and pray, Lord, for an hour. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that, Lord, there's so many people tonight, God, that are struggling and battling, Lord, the saints of God, Lord. And God, the saints of God can't get along anymore, Lord. They're always fussing and fighting and arguing and, Lord, I just can't seem to get along anymore, Lord. And sometimes I wonder, God, if you hear our prayers, Lord. And I wonder if you hear mine sometimes, Lord. Maybe there's sin in our life, God. Or, Lord, maybe it's just because of our attitudes or our unbelief, God. And that's why the man in the Bible, Lord, you said, you put it in there for a reason. I believe your word, God, is your word. I don't care about these guys that want to follow some other book. Lord, they want to follow Yahweh or whatever, Lord, or whatever it might be, God. I just believe that King James Bible, God, was given to us. I've seen it, Lord. I've seen that old book, God, just to save people, Lord. Through the Spirit of God, Lord, I remember over the years, Lord, I've been saved for, I think this year will be 34 years. And I've seen revival break out, Lord. And I've never seen a revival break out with someone using some other book. And, Lord, they always put it down. They want to change the words. They want to add. They say we need to put this Hebrew word in there or that Hebrew word in there. You know, but, you know, Lord, I read your book. I think it's pretty amazing that there's already several words in the Bible. If people would stop and think about it, how, Lord, you put in the Bible, in the Word of God, you said a certain name, and you said this is the interpretation of that name because it's Hebrew. And yet, Lord, they don't like Jesus in the Bible anymore. They got to change it. And there's people out there, God, that want to write in Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew. And to me, that's just like coming into a place, people, Lord, speaking in tongues, Lord, and and speaking something that I don't understand. And the Bible said it's like a tinkling cymbal, Lord. And to them, and the Bible teaches, Lord, that it's like being a barbarian, which is pretty bad. Lord, you put me in America. You put me in a nation, God, that you already knew, Lord, that was going to turn their back on you. Lord, you put me in a nation, God, that you allow. See, people don't like it, Lord, because when you say you voted for Trump or Lord, or you stand for Trump, God, and they blast you over it, and they didn't vote for nobody, but they gripe and bellyache and whine and suck their thumbs about Trump, Lord, and yet they didn't do anything. They didn't vote for anybody, but they want to whine about it. All I'm saying, Lord, we live in a country, God, this nation has rejected you, but you already knew they would. And, Lord, I believe by your word, God, that you put Trump in office. I really believe that, God, if people don't like me, delete me. I don't care. Don't write me. Don't write me no dirty letters. I've already told them. I didn't want to hear them anymore. You can tell me I'm backslid. You can tell me I hate God. You can tell me I'm lost. You can tell me whatever. But I want you to know this. I'm not listening. He said, you ain't praying, you're preaching. I said, well, no, I'm still praying to God. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm sharing my heart with God. There's a lot of things, Lord, that I don't understand in life. There's a lot of times, Lord, that people try to tell you, Lord, to handle things this way or handle things that way, Lord, and yet they've never been through anything. And I understand it. I pray to God that they love you, Lord. I pray to God, Lord, that they know the word of God and they try to use the Bible, but they've never been through anything, and they're trying to tell people how to do something when they don't know how to. When they tell you, say, get on that bike and ride that bicycle, and they never rode a bicycle. Yeah. So, Lord, I tell you what, we got problems, Lord. As Christians, God, hate one another. Lord, and I don't think you really, you know, what you let us have Facebook around, Lord, and I believe anyway, Lord, for a little help and encouragement, Lord. But, you know, I noticed something, God, about like Brother Tommy said the other night, Lord, on a post that talking about, man, we need to pray for one another. We don't need to put one another down. We need to start praying for each other. Yeah, but instead, Lord, I see the post, you know. It's always got to be an argument because this guy is so proud, he knows more than this guy. And this other guy knows more than this other guy. And we're in this thing together. Huh. Yeah, that's what I like. There's a song. We need to work it out. We're in this thing together, man. Hey, children of God. Amen. Now I'm preaching. Amen. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you help me, though. Help me not to run rabbits, God, if that's what it's called, if that's what I'm doing. Or is it, God, you want me to hit everything and everybody? I don't deserve this tonight, Lord. I really don't, Lord. Dear God, I hate it when I do something wrong, God, and yet you tell me that's been on my heart to get on here and pray. I don't even know if it's going out, but I'm giving it everything I got. Not that I'm anything, well, because I fail you. I'm a failure sometimes. And that's made me very humble, Lord, where I can look at myself and say, you know what, that brother or that sister over there, man, I need to pray for them, and well, I don't need to cut them down, and I don't need to do this to them, man, and I don't need to argue with them. Lord, you said we're here to sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron, Lord, but we're not. We're hammers, and I'm trying to remember what they're called. I'll think of it here in a minute. What the hammer hits, not an eagle. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. All you smart people out there, you'll be able to tell me. An anvil, right? Instead of helping, sharpening, we're beating, we're pounding, we're smashing, we're condemning, we're not loving. Love one another. Love each other. Love the saints. Pray for the saints. Be there for the saints. Help each other. Sharpen each other. But don't kick each other. Don't bite the venom of one mine. And like I said, I don't deserve to preach tonight. And I wasn't even going to preach like this tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Hey, I found out my brother's not doing too good. And it really made me think again, God, why would you let me? Lord, why me? God, why me? Why are you going to make me keep living? I got people around me. I'm not anything. I mean that with God. That's the way I feel. I am a saint of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm a failure a lot of times. But it always, when someone will come up to me, even if they see my failure, you understand me? There are people that know me, that I have done some things, amen, and I've been a failure sometimes, but you know what? They'll come up to me and say, Wally, would you pray for me? Would you please pray for me? I need help, Wally. And you know what? I hope I can tie this all in to whatever God wants me to say. And you know what I don't do? I don't tell him, get away from me, you wicked sinner. Get away from me, sodomite. Get away from me, lesbian. Get away from me, drunkard. Get away from me, you adulterous woman. I don't do that. I don't do it. There are some out there, I believe, are total reprobates. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you what. You can talk to a sodomite man without trying to cut his head off. Even if he gets vulgar with you, even if he talks ugly to you, even if he makes silly jesting to you, your problem is when you attack them, you are not Christ, you are not in the spirit of Christ, you are in the spirit of your flesh. We have lost the true meaning of preach the word. We've lost it. Instead of going out there, take the gospel. I'm not talking about everybody. Some people got it. But I know, and I've watched over the years how many people, listen to me, how many people that have been out there preaching, and someone says something very ugly to you, and you get all bent, and you think, now it's my time to cut his head off. And yet you guys talk about not having a gun. You guys talk about not having a sword, but you take that sword out there and cut the head off instead of trying to bring them to Jesus. Ooh, I got news for you. I've been there. I've done that. I've been in places myself. I preached on many streets. I preached all over America. I have been preaching out there. I've been preaching for 34 years. I have seen all kinds of garbage. I have listened to all the trash. But this is one thing that I did learn out there. When they start mouthing off and you don't like it, what you need to do, when they start that, just turn your back on them. God did not say stand there and get in their face and tell them how wicked, reprobate, no good for nothing, sorry, so-and-so they are. You let God do that. You let the Spirit of God do that. You cannot see what the Holy Ghost of God is doing inside them. I don't know how loud this is on my phone. I don't know. I might ought to take it off speakerphone. I hope it's not distorted. I hope it's not messed up. I can't get through yet on the other phone, so I don't really know what it's doing. And I didn't know it was going to turn out like this. I figured, well, I'm not going on. And ain't nobody listening by phone. But that's okay, too. That won't cost you nothing. That came right out of the oven. Listen, I told you, it's just preaching, just going to preach the word. And I don't care. I know you probably say you don't agree with me or whatever. That's fine. I love you anyways. Anything you can do about it. There's some things y'all preach on I don't agree with either, man, but I don't get up in your face, tell you you're lost, going to hell, you no good for nothing, reprobate. You need to repent and get right with God. And everybody that tries to tell you how to help you make it through this, I love you to death. I really do. I praise God for everybody that's ever been there for me. Amen. I went through some times in my life. Amen. It's almost 10 years now, and I tell you what, I am still going on for Jesus. And I write things sometimes just to see feedback, and I want to see how people handle that. And also, when I write some things, amen, on Facebook, I want to be able to help somebody, to let them. And that was great. I'm telling you, I think it was wonderful that the Lord laid that on my heart. Believe it or not, I know you guys don't believe in that, but the Lord laid it on my heart. One night I'm sitting here, he said, I want you to share a little bit about what you went through. And you got questions on your heart and you got questions on your mind, and I want you to put them out to you. You know what? I'm glad I did. The first question I asked, and people probably don't forgot about it, but I had the first question I asked out here when God laid things on my heart, I said, can a saved person do anything to cause themselves to go to hell? I got a pretty good response on it. I didn't do it for a response, but I had this one lady call me. She just, or not call me, but she contacted me. She said, I just want to thank you that you asked that question, that you'd have enough about you to ask that question, because I was wondering about somebody that I know personally in my life, and I wondered about that. Because a saved person can never lose his salvation, no matter what he does. Don't write me any letters, because I will not respond to anybody that's going to argue about it. I won't. I will not respond to you, so don't write me. I don't know if anybody's listening, but don't write me. I believe that I'm sealed until the day of redemption, just like the Bible says. No man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. He's my Father. He saved me. Jesus went to the cross one time forever for my sins. Forever. My sins have been cast away from me, far as from the east is to the west, never to be remembered again. And I read it a while ago. I was talking about some people. You know, and I understand. I will say this, okay? I know there's sodomites out there and lesbians that can be really vile and nasty. But in my journey, in my preaching, myself, on the streets, in churches, I have learned. I stood in their face. And I preached to them, and I gave them the Bible. They're screaming and hollering at me, and I'm giving them back the Bible. When it's said and done, I'm not arguing with them. They'll ask questions, and I'll tell them, if they don't like what you said, they're going to try to argue. But they ask again, and I keep telling them. I give them the scripture. But you know what? I was down in Athens, Georgia one time, preaching down there on the streets when the Olympics was going on. I didn't know there were 20,000 people in Athens, Georgia. On a street corner, and these group of guys, young men, came out there, and they were threatening to whoop me if I didn't get out of their house. And their house was that street corner. And I didn't know that, but I told them I wasn't going to leave. Well, they kept pressing me and kept getting in my face. And I kept turning. When I was preaching, they jumped right in my face. I just turned to the left. They get in my face. I turned to the right. They get in my face again. I turn all the way around. Didn't say nothing to them. I'm preaching. I already seen they're not there. They're there to hassle you. They're there to cause trouble. And I learned there in Athens, Georgia, that I was going to keep turning every time someone got in my face, because I am not supposed to be standing there arguing. I don't have to be in their face telling them they're going to hell. I can turn my back, keep on preaching. Well, Brother Wallet, what if they hit you in the head? Well, who? What God are you serving? What Bible are you reading? They stoned Stephen to death, and he was looking at them. They gnawed on him with their teeth, man. They took chunks of meat out of him. What God was he serving? Who was he afraid of? Nobody. I wasn't afraid of anybody out there because God is on my side, and can't because I'm on his side. So I'm standing there, and every time they tried to start something, I would turn away from them because I knew all they were there was doing is to cause trouble, and I'm out there to preach the gospel. I'm out there trying to reach people that want to hear. Okay? Now, later on I found out there were two undercover cops there. I didn't know that, but I found out they were there. They was not going to let me get beat up. I didn't know that. But I kept preaching, no matter what. I still kept on preaching. And that same young man that came up to me, was cussing me out, got right in my face again, and he said, "Sir, can I talk to you?" He said, "I just want to talk to you." I said, "No, you don't." He said, "I'm telling you, I just want to." I said, "No, you want to cuss me out, and you want to start trouble up here." He said, "No, sir. I'm telling you, I'm giving you my word. I want to talk to you." I said, "Give me a few more minutes and I'll be done." I finished preaching. I turned around. Him and his five buddies were sitting there. And he said, "Sir," he came up to me. He said, "Sir, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for getting in your face like that. I'm sorry for cussing you, preacher." And this is what the man said with his buddies there. You know, people that you call thugs, you know, and people, you know, with different colored hair, you know, and things like that. You know what I'm talking about? Them people stood there, him and his five buddies, came up to me and said, "Sir, we want to know more. We want to know more about this Jesus." Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time I've had for that trouble experience. And I sat there and I talked to them young men. I don't know how long about the Lord. Did any of them get saved? I don't know. I don't keep count. I don't try to put a notch on my belt. Jesus said, some plant, some water, but God is the one that gives the increase. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not out there trying to make a name. I wasn't out there trying to say, look at me. I was out there trying to show people about Jesus and what he can do for them. My life in the last many years, several years here lately, has been tough. You know, I've been in a hole. I didn't ask to be in that hole. I didn't dig the hole. God put me in the hole, just like he did Joseph. But I'm learning how to dig steps to come on out of that thing. But those kind of people like that, I'm going to read something to you. I'm going to read something. I pray to God this thing's going out. I don't know what's wrong with my other phone. And I pray to God it's going out okay on my cell phone. But I want to tell you something. All those people out there that nobody wants, I want them. All those people out there that look grungy. All those people out there with yellow and purple hair, I want them. All those people out there that the churches don't want, I want them. You understand what I'm saying? I want them. You know why? Because that's who Jesus went after. Jesus went after publicans and sinners. Jesus went after people that were in trashy clothes. Jesus went after people. He went after people. He did. Some of them got saved. He went after the eloquent. Paul talked to some fancy people. Paul got to talk to King Agrippa, and I felt sorry for King Agrippa because he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How many people have you talked to? How many people have you tried to talk to about Jesus? Amen. I don't care what they look like. How many people out there in the streets, man? How many prostitutes? How many drug addicts? How many people have you stereotyped and said, man, I wouldn't talk to him? How many people that, listen to me, I preach a lot of homeless people down there all over Georgia for 10 years. They stopped some of them. They were drunk. They were whores. They were dope heads. But you know what? They saw me loving them. I loved every one of them. You know why? Because Jesus did. You understand what I'm saying? You preachers out there tonight, Jesus loved every one of them. Every one of them that you don't like, God loves every one of them. You understand me? God loves the sodomites. God loves the lesbians. God loves the murderers and the drunkards. You hear me? God loves everybody that's against him. You might not like that. You might not believe that. But I'm telling you, Jesus said he came to save sinners. And those people are sinners. Amen. I don't care about the suit and tie. You can burn every stinking tire in this world. Would not bother me. Amen. I'm sick and tired of seeing fancy dressed people thinking they're better because you got a suit and tie. Let me tell you something about your suit and tie, okay? You talk about these people, man, wearing these certain kind of clothes, and yet you got people wearing suit and ties, and you got rotten bankers out there. You got lousy bankers. You got liars and cheaters and thieves. And people that wear suit and tie, but you think you're better. Amen. You wear it on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and you feel like you're this big bag man. Well, let me tell you something. I pray to God that God will send people inside your church. Listen, I used to go to church in sackcloth and ashes. I would wear it on purpose because God told me to let you know better. Stink just as much as they do. You stink just as much as I do. We're filthy, we were filthy, rotten, stinking, wasted away sinners. But you riding on your high horse. You riding on a high horse thinking you're better than everybody, but you ain't, you stink. The Bible says in your best state, you're altogether vanity. You walk in vanity. You wear your suit and ties. It's vanity. You got the fancy hairdo. You got it all puffed up and powdered up. It's all vanity. Jesus wore a robe. Jesus had sandals on. Amen. And John had camel hair on. Man, let me tell you something about old John. He didn't care what you thought. And I ain't trying. And I'm not being ugly, man. I'm telling you. I am just saying tonight. Listen, I didn't know I was going to keep preaching it, but I want to read this. I want to show you somebody in the Bible, somebody else that Jesus loved. You remember the woman that washed Jesus' feet last week when I was telling you about her? You remember her? Oh, she was a terrible person, wasn't she? I know you wouldn't want her to walk into your church. I tell you about Brother Holloway, man. I tell you what, I got some stories, man, about people, how churches treated people that don't dress fancy. They wouldn't like me because I got a beard, but I'm going to share something with you, okay? And tell you, you can prove to me, you show me in chapter and verse, I want to tell you what happened to Jesus. The Bible said they beat him. They whooped him. They whipped him. With a cat of nine tails. They whipped him with whatever they could put on there with claws and probably glass and everything else that would tear his body totally apart. And yeah, they punched him in the face and then they spit on him and they thought they were smart ass and they shoved a crown of thorns on his head and what else did they do? What else did they do? Tell me what they did. They plucked his beard out. He had a beard. Jesus has a beard. And I'm not going to make a doctrine out of it. But if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Hallelujah. I want to read tonight again. I'm going to read. Amen. Can I read? I'm going to read from the King Jesus Bibles. Amen. The King Jesus Bible. I'm not Hebrew. I'm not Greek. And I'm not going to be and don't want to be. I am a Gentile. Lost somebody. I guess it wasn't supposed to be there. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you listening, though. It's from somebody. Hallelujah. Listen to me. In John chapter 8, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, before I go any further, I want you Bible scholars out there, and I know for some reason God didn't put it in his word, and I'm not questioning God, but there's some reason he didn't put it in there. I don't have the answer for it, but why? I'm going to throw this out there. I think I kind of know why, because that's the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees are. That's kind of like the way it is outside the churches and everything. You know, I mean, I know a preacher right now sitting his butt in jail because he went with a girl. Amen. He was a married man, and he went with his young girl. Amen. And they're condemning the girl, but the man's sitting in prison, and they're trying to get him out, and they're blaming her. They say it's because of her. She was a 17-year-old girl. He was a 40-something-year-old man, but it was her fault. Pharisees and Sadducees, all inside these Baptist churches. Yeah, I've seen it all in a bunch of them. That ain't the only one. I've seen a bunch of them. I know one right now in Texas, baby. And let me tell you something. They blame the young girls. They blame the girls for being molested. They're the ones that came against the preacher. No, Hogwash. It's the preacher's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It ain't the girl's fault. Now, it's the preacher's fault. It's the other pervert that was in that church's fault. It wasn't the girl's fault. They always, they're Pharisees. They're Sadducees. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees blame the girl. Now, I got a question. Where was the man? Is what I'd like to know. Why didn't they bring the man with her? They were both committing adultery, but they brought the woman because the Pharisees and the Sadducees are kind of like the Muslims. They think it's okay for the man and not for the woman. And see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, again, are just like the Muslims. They would bury that woman, and they would stone her to death because under the law of Moses, she was to die. But Jesus came, baby. Jesus came on the scene. Yeah, Jesus was there. My God, catch hold of that. Jesus was there. You understand what I'm saying? Boy, but they listen now. Listen to these hypocrites, man. I got it figured out. I'll tell you what I was reading. I said, boy, me and my son will talk. I said, my God, I got it figured out. They said unto him, to Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. Now, Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, right? Here come them. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Have you ever figured, have you ever thought, what did he write? You know what I thought he, you know what I think he wrote? Well, let's see here. He bent down, he said, if I use your name, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on, I don't know who you are, I don't know who you is, I don't know nothing about anybody out there, but this is what I come up with. When Jesus bent down, he started right. He said, Bobby so-and-so, let me tell you, he started writing Bobby so-and-so's name down there, and then he wrote the girl he was with, you know, he wrote the woman's name he committed adultery with. He wrote the woman's name that he was in a whorehouse with. And my God, here comes Jimmy now. Oh, Jimmy. Yeah, here's Jimmy. Yeah, here you go. How many whores you done slept with? How many women, how many times have you committed adultery, Buddy Rowe? He started writing all that, their conscience. It says their conscience. Why was their conscience? He didn't write just, he was that without sin, cast the first stone. He said it. But I believe he was writing their names out. I believe he wrote, started writing all their names out and all the women that they laid with and all the adultery that was going on and all the adultery that was still going on. And they come out there and they wanted to kill that woman. And yet they were messing around committing adultery themselves. And Jesus nailed them. He nailed them. And he might even look up and said, Bubba, what about old Betsy Lou over there? She's married and you've been with her how many times? Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah! He said, now, pick up that stone and throw it at her. You know why they couldn't throw it at her? Because they were doing the very same thing. They were out there teaching their garbage, their pharmaceutical laws. They were teaching everything about don't do as I do, but do as I say. I'm out here committing adultery, but you don't commit adultery, because if you commit adultery, we're going to stone you to death. But I'm a Pharisee, I'm a priest, I'm this, I'm that, and you can't touch me because of who I am. Oh, but Jesus came on us. That's why they hated Jesus. Do you know that Jesus saved Pharisees? Jesus saved Sadducees? Amen. He even saved Hephesies. Yeah, even happy people are lost. Hey, listen. And they which heard it began, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. Oh, my goodness, even the older man. Even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man in thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus didn't condemn her. Do you know that when they brought her somewhere in there, she confessed. Her life changed right here. This woman, you know, that most Baptist churches don't want, this woman got saved. Yeah, they didn't get saved the way you wanted her to, but they got saved the way God wanted her to. Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah, hey, you know what? She didn't have to come in there. She didn't have to come before Jesus, man, wearing a suit and tie. He didn't have to have a dress on. She didn't even tell him how she was in. She might have had a dress. They wore dresses, a lot of them back in Rome. But she didn't have to come the way the people wanted her to come. Hey, man, they were coming to kill her. But you know what? Jesus didn't kill her. Hey, when Jesus came on the scene, listen to me. Under the law of Moses, you're supposed to die in adultery. But listen, Jesus came and done away with that. I know a lot of people are, listen, I'm not in the Hebrew roots. I'm not going to be. I think it's wrong. I totally believe it's totally wrong. There's nobody has ever been justified under the law. The Bible says that. What I have learned about the people that Hebrew, the Hebrew roots and all that, they totally deny the New Testament. That's where they fail. They don't believe in a Bible. They say they do, but they don't. They do not believe in a Bible. They don't believe in a God, my God, the God of heaven, God Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They do not believe that he really can give us a perfect book to follow as a Gentile and an English-speaking man. They have got to be better than God. They have put themselves up over God, telling God that book ain't no good, and we're going to rewrite it for you. But the King James Bible has always been anointed. The King James Bible that God used to bring revival in America has always been hated, not just by atheists, not just by Muslims, but it's been hated by the Hebrew roots and everybody else that tries to deny that Jesus Christ is his name. God has written many times in his Bible Hebrew words, and if God wanted Jesus' name in Hebrew, he would have put it in there. Was that word in Revelation of Pentagon? Something like that. That's a Hebrew word. It says, and this is the interpretation. It's not an English word. Hello. So if God can put that in there, God can put Jesus' name in there different if he wanted it to. But you know what? As much as you want to be a Jew, if you were born a Gentile, you're still a Gentile. There's Jews in the Bible that God despises in the book of Revelation because they're not Jews. They call themselves Jews. Those are the Jews that are causing problems across this world, not the true Jews. I've had people tell me there ain't no more real Jews anymore. I beg to differ with you. If there's not, then God's a liar. But I do believe he told Israel and Joseph and Abraham that there would be. So you need to go back and study. I don't know where all, I'm telling you the same. It's just coming from the Lord, I believe. Listen to me, though. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And I want y'all to know something out there. The Bible says, know ye not. Know ye not. He was talking church. You understand me? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, no covetous, no boaster, no reviler, no extortioner shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. None of them will make it into heaven unless they repent of their sins and they ask God to save them. Okay? Now, in the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. Wow, a lot of witches on this earth today, ain't there? and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, before I go any further, there is a brother out there and his wife, they're having a battle. Someone that calls himself a witch is fighting them, okay? They're supposedly casting spells on them and everything, you know, and they're going through a lot of stuff. I would like for you to pray for them. I'm not going to call their name, and I won't go in no more depth of who it is or what's going on. But I would like for you to pray for them because these people here are sorcerers. And I believe God has power over every demon of hell anywhere. But we got to pray and ask God to work this out for that family. Okay? Now, getting back to what I was saying. Y'all hear me? I appreciate those that are listening tonight, too. I appreciate Arkansas listening. Let me tell you something. I know the Bible talks about doing things decent and in order. But how long is it going to take for you to go out and reach out outside the four walls of your building and go talk to all those people you're preaching to that's never sitting in the pews of your church? Even the Christians in the church, how long is it going to take you to go outside the camp and start witnessing? He told all of us. It's not just for a few people. That's for everybody to be a witness. You know? I mean, there's churches right now. I would never, people ask me, where can I go to church? And I said, I'm not going to tell you anything because the churches that I've been to and around everything, I would never send anybody to them now. Terrible, ain't it? I sound terrible, don't I? Well, I've seen all the garbage, man. And I got tired of being the garbage, man, and I left it. But all these people out here, that's why I preach about this woman right here. She was in adultery. She's wrong, you know. It's amazing how the men always run out there and want to kill the women, man, because they're in adultery, but they don't think about themselves. Yeah. I mean, they're just as guilty as she is. And that's kind of like, you know, I thought about this today. I was thinking a little bit. I said, you know, it's kind of funny how the story about David and Bathsheba, you know, it's how all the preachers always come down on David. See, it works two ways. One group comes down on the women, the other group comes down on David. Oh, sure, David, he should have went to battle. Yeah. But you know what? Bathsheba knew he was going to be out there that day. Bathsheba knew he didn't go. She was there. They knew everything. Anything went on in them places like that, everybody knew it. Bathsheba goes out on her porch butt naked, you know, knowing that David's standing there. But nobody ever puts her down. She's just as guilty as David was. She enticed David. Yeah, she did. But you don't hear preachers talk about that. It's always David's fault. Yeah, no, well, it was both their fault. They both paid. And even though David was after a man after God's own heart, he lost his son over his sin. What I'm saying, though, these people out here, the woman that got caught in adultery, the men wanted to kill her and didn't bring the man that was caught in adultery and let him go. And she was probably, like I said, dirty and nasty. And I'm trying to reach out to people now, really. I've tried to do it all my life since I've been saved. I really have. I've been preaching in jails. I've preached in hospitals. I've preached in nursing homes, I preached on the streets, I preached in churches, you know. I preached all kinds of internet, Crusade Radio. I've been on several radio stations, and I'm not bragging. I've tried to reach out and touch people, the lost people. There's one preacher friend of mine, said, give me the smokers. The smokers become some of the greatest Christians you ever have in your church. And you got to let God deal with them, man. You can't smack them in the face and put that cigarette out. You got to let God deal with them. You got to let God do it. I mean, you see what I'm saying? See, you got puffed up in pride. You used to smoke cigarettes, and now you quit smoking, and you're better than they are. So you smack them across their face, and you run every time you see them, you rub it in their face, man. You know, well, let God deal with them. You told them already. They know. If they're one of God's, hey, they got to look. I smoked. I was smoking for several, I don't know how many months after I got saved. Yeah, I was. I was smoking. Yeah, I did. It took God to show me things in my life. It wasn't a preacher getting in my face. No, it was God. Okay? I done it on God's terms, not yours, not the preacher, not the Baptist, not the Pentecostal, not the apostolic, not the Church of Christ way. I done it God's way. I prayed, and I asked God, and I asked God to give me deliverance. I asked God, and he did. Okay? I didn't run around after I quit smoking saying, about smoking. You know, I mean, I preach on it. I preach about, you know, it's not good for you. Okay? But anyways, I'll take all the people that the Baptists and Pentecostals and stuff, you know, because they're not, these people don't dress well and everything. I'll take them, man. I'll train them. I'll teach them. I'll show them. I love them. I love them in Jesus' name, man. I love them the way Jesus would. Yeah, that's right. That woman, hey, man, the woman with the long hair, man, down there washing Jesus' feet, Jesus loved that woman. She got saved, too. Wow, ain't that amazing? Yeah, I think it's pretty cool myself, the way it all turned out for her. She was wiping his feet, and the other guys, and man, even disciples, they wasn't doing nothing for Jesus, but boy, she was crying too, man. She washed his feet with tears. She knew what she was. And I don't believe after she walked out of that place, amen, after she got saved, I don't believe she's walking around saying, hey, I'm better than you. What about the woman at the well? She didn't run around saying, hey, I'm better than you. He done something for me, I'm better than you. She said, no, come see a man. Come see a man that told me everything about me. Do you know God knows everything about you? You understand that? We fall. We fail. We get up. We fight. We push. But God knows about everybody, lost or saved. It don't matter. He knows everything about us. And I feel sometimes he ain't very happy about me, but I thank God that he loves me and has mercy on me because I do the best I know how. And I keep pushing because he's there with me. I keep standing because he's there with me. I have the saints of God behind me pushing me, saying, get up and go. And God said, I'm right there with you, Wally. I'm right there with you, Wally. Jesus said, I'm right there with you. I can tell you stories upon stories, and most of you, if you're a Baptist out there, would not believe me what I tell you about what God does for me, and it actually happened in things and ways that you would not believe because you don't have faith. You don't believe that, just like some cities that Jesus went into. He wouldn't go in or didn't go into. They said, Lord, we going into the city? He said, no. That's just like a lot of street preachers, man. They go out there, they want to fight with the people out there. That's why they keep going down to Louisiana. That place is a wicked city. New Orleans is a reprobate city. But they got to go down there because they get money. They get, the preachers get prestige. They get a name. And oh, you're doing a great job. But all these people, oh, you're doing a great job. But they don't go down there with them. Well, it's always been. Oh, you're getting a snot beat out of you, but I ain't coming down there, but you're doing a good job. But you're going down there just to fight. Jesus went, did not go into a bunch of cities. Why? Because of their unbelief. And Jesus also told them, do not cast your pearls before swine. But a lot of people can't get that one because they want to fight. They want to battle to be a fight. It is not a fight. We have a spiritual warfare going on, but the gospel is the gospel of peace. The gospel is to be put out to reach out and touch somebody and let God change their life. That's what the gospel is all about. We are to tell them there is a way for you. There is a way that God will save you. There is help for you. There is peace for you. Even if you get saved, even though you go through battles upon battles, and I've been in a bunch of them. I've been saved for 34 years. I went into depression, never thought I would, but I did it for a few months. But I'm saved. I said, but well, you're a Christian. God, you belong to God. It don't matter. And then I've had the pharisaical attitude of people that, well, you must not be right with God. You lost everything you had. You must not be right with God. Let me tell you something. I am right with God. I stood with God. I stood in places you've never stood. I stood toe-to-toe with the devil. And you know what? You remind me of the friends of Job. But you know what I found so amazing? In the end, God said, I'm going to listen to Job. I ain't listening to y'all. I'm going to listen to Job. And God said that he heard Job's prayer. He didn't hear them other guys. He told them other guys, go tell Job he's so sorry. Hey, folks, we need to really reach out in a time. That's like Brother Tommy's going through a teaching. We're in the end times. We are in the end times. I think we got a little, there's a lot more that's going to happen, but I believe we're there. We are in the end times. You better get ready. But those of you that are ready, I hope you're telling somebody. And, you know, you talk about Jesus. You know what I've learned too, though? A life that's lived, a walk is better than a talk most of the time. We got a lot of people talk, but people don't walk. They talk one thing but walk another. They say they're a duck, but they don't waddle like a duck. They walk like a chicken. And people say that guy must be a chicken because he don't walk like a duck. He said he's a duck, but he's not a duck. He don't waddle. I'm just saying. I just want to thank God tonight. I really do, and I'm fixing clothes. I never expect to say what I've said tonight. I've asked God, and I said, I don't deserve to be on this radio tonight. I really feel that way. I love Jesus Christ. I've lost so much stuff in my life, but I've still not lost Jesus, and he's never lost me. I've been in very many dark holes that I didn't dig. I was put in them. Okay, but I come out of them, and God's always been there. He's been a very gracious, loving, merciful God to me, and I praise him tonight. If you're not saved tonight, I got news for you. Jesus will save you. I don't care what you've done. Those of you who feel like I'll never, not, you know, if you're saying, well, God can't save someone like me, well, you're a perfect candidate to be saved. There are some out there, if they blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God, they'll never be saved. I don't care how much you preach to them. I don't care what you say to them. They'll never be saved. They don't care about God at all. They don't care. And you'll know them. But you people out there tonight, listen to me. If you've never asked God to save, if you've never repented of your sins, listen, we all were born into sin. Don't seem fair, but we were. We were born into sin. Okay? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We still fall short. But God, in his mercy, in his kindness, in his love towards us, Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died a very, 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 very terrible life, a death on the cross. I know today, this is 2018, people don't believe that. But you know what I do? I didn't think I'd ever get saved. I didn't care about getting saved. But I did. God didn't force me. God didn't make me. God said, here it is. I'm here to help you. I'm here to save you. This is, you repent of your sins. You ask Christ to save you. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Confess your sins to him. Amen. Believe and trust and confess that he is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Hey, man, just trust God what he says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's the gift that God gave to us. That's the gift. That came, that goes with Acts 2:38, too. You understand me? The gift. Ye shall receive the gift. He didn't say a gift. He said the gift. And he said in Ephesians 2:8-9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift that God gave to us is salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the gift that God gave to us. He came here to save sinners. He came down to save us from our sins. He died on an old nasty tree. They spit on him. His mother stood there and watched him die. But she knew. She knew there was something different about her son than anybody else on this earth. She knew it. Because he was and is the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was God, came down. And I won't throw this out there for oneness. There's not just, listen to me. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's not one body. There's three. And I can prove it, and I won't go into it tonight. But I'll just throw this out real quick. If there was only one body up there, how can Jesus be standing on the right hand of God? And also, why would God, if there's only one body, who's he going to turn and say, go get my people? When God turns, the Bible also says this. Jesus don't even know when he's coming back. Not even Jesus knows that. Only the Father. Now I'm going to give you another one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto me. No. No man cometh unto the Father. But by me. When you come through Jesus Christ, you're coming to come to the Father. I pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. I had no idea, Lord, all this was going to come out. I don't know if I make sense. Lord, I don't know, God, if it went out clear enough. I want to thank Arkansas for listening. I want to thank others, Lord, that if they tune in or Lord, if they go and they listen to this after it's all over. Lord, I pray, dear God, that I made sense out of it, Lord. And I pray they will too. Lord, if anybody's here tonight, God, that's lost, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God will move in their heart, Lord, and save them. Lord, and I ask you again, Lord, to forgive me of my sins and where I fail you, Lord. That's why I said, Lord, I'm a very unworthy servant of the Most High God. You've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to my family. Lord, you've been good to everybody. Not just because I'm saved, but even before I got saved, Lord, you've been good to me. And Father, I ask you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now. I ask right now, Lord, for my brother Mark, Lord, again. I ask you, Lord, to bless Brother Tommy Kirkpatrick, Lord. Father, I ask you to bless Brother Brandon Teague, Lord, help him up there in Bogart, Texas, Lord. Brother Tommy out there in Arkansas, God. And my older brother Mark, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you help them supply every need they have, God. Whatever it is that they need, I ask you to do it, Lord. And others, Lord, on my prayer list, others, God, that have asked me on Facebook to pray for them, Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, their health, financially, physically, spiritually, dear God, I ask you tonight, Lord, by faith, trusting and asking you. Lord, please supply whatever it is they need in their life. Dear God, I ask you, my Father, Lord God, that you keep blessing me, Lord, in my head and everything, Lord, all the pains that I've had too, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to touch me, God, and heal me. And Father God, I pray for Brother Jerry Lane tonight, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, they don't know I'm doing this, Lord, but I feel led and I'm not going to stop until my time runs out. But Brother Jerry, Lord, Brother Jerry Lane, God lost his wife not long ago. And I know, God, he wrote me even in that letter when I talk about the darkness or the dark hole, Lord. I know how it feels. The other people don't know. They can say a lot of things, Lord, but they don't know what we're talking about, Lord, unless they've been there. That dark hole ain't very nice. But I pray that you lift him up out of it, God. I pray, God, that you encourage his heart. If he listens to me, Lord, had been listening or whatever, pray, God, that you let him know I love him, God, and I'm glad I got to meet him down there in Chattanooga and preach with him, Lord, several times on the street. Father, I ask you, dear God, that you bless my family, help them, Lord, in their struggles and their battles, God. Help them, dear God. I pray for my son, Robbie, tonight, Lord, God, that you deal with his heart. And Father, I ask you, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for those, Lord, that are standing out here in this world, people here, even here on Facebook, I pray for the saints of God, that Lord, that are arguing with one another, Lord. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we come together, God, and work with this thing together, God, and get this thing all lined out, Lord, and start sharpening each other, Lord, instead of beating each other up. Father God, I ask, Lord, that you bless the friends, Lord, Brother Matt Caudill up in Indiana, Lord. His dad's not doing well. His mom's not doing well. But I come before the throne of God and ask you, Lord, to take care of it, God. Whatever your will is, may it be done, God. And, Father, we glorify you. We uplift you. I pray, dear God, that your will be done, Lord. I pray for all my friends here in Tennessee and all across the country, Lord, and out there in Arkansas. Father God, bless them, strengthen them, bless every saint of God tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that's my prayer always, God. May God bless every saint of God. That's Brother Wally's prayer. The Lord willing, maybe next week. May God bless each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.